Today, we continue with lesson number 31 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin. We're deep into the 8th perek, Mishneh Vov and Mishneh Zayin, the 6th and 7th Mishnayos of Perek Ches. We've learned in Mishneh Hay a long list of strict punishments which were imposed upon a woman who used a get which was not done according to all the details regarding the dating, the names of the places. There's an entire list of such things. We're now going to learn that there are other areas of halacha, complicated ones, where if things were done improperly, all of these consequences would also be applied to the woman. Again, the reason for these impositions was to guarantee that society as a whole, the Beis Din, the rabbis, the people involved with Gittin, scribes, etc., would make sure that things were done exactly correct, because they would fear the consequences that would ensue to the woman who married on the basis of a get which was improper. Again, it's interesting that although we have this entire Mishnah, which is almost scary in all the details, all the consequences for a woman who marries using an improper get, it's only according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds Hamashana Mimatbeya Shetovu Chachomim Begitin Teitze V'Yavlad Mamza. But the halacha is not as strict as the Mishnah is. As we will see, the same thing applies now to the next two Mishnayos. But they require understanding some background. You know about the mitzvah of Yibum. That is, there's two brothers, and one of them gets married to a woman, and this brother number one and his wife have no children, and brother number one dies, and there's a mitzvah upon brother number two to take his brother's wife, his sister-in-law, his Yavoma, as a wife, to continue the name of his dead brother. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. If he doesn't want to have Yibum, he doesn't have to marry her, but he has to free her through a process known as chalitza, which is described briefly in the Torah, and which we will learn about in greater detail in Maseches Yevamos. Now, the Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos begins with a fascinating halacha. Of course, as you know, in the time of the Torah, possibly in the time of the Mishnah as well, and throughout Jewish history until relatively recently, it was permitted, at least in certain circles, to marry more than one wife. Suppose you have our scenario, there's two brothers, and brother number one is married to two wives. One of them is his niece, the daughter of brother number two. So he has two wives. One is his niece, daughter of number two, of brother number two. And the other is another woman not related to them. Now brother number one dies, and he's leaving behind his brother's daughter as a widow, and another woman as a widow. The relationship between these two women is known as the relationship of a tzora. Tzora means usually a woe, a trouble, because it was recognized that two co-wives don't necessarily get along with so well together. So you have this daughter of brother number two, who is now up for Yibum or Chalitza from her own father. But along with her, there's a co-wife. As you might think, well, brother number two can't take through Yibum his own daughter, who was married to his brother number one, who's now dead. But why shouldn't he be able to take the co-wife who's not related to him at all in the mitzvah of Yibum? The halacha, however, is that chamesh esrei noshim potros torotzeihem. There were 15 relationships whereby if a man dies and leaves behind a woman who was related to the surviving brother in one of these 15 ways, not only is that woman who's related to the surviving brother, in our example, his own daughter, exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, but so is the co-wife, the Tzora, also exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. And there's the entire list of such relationships. It's possible for two brothers, one to marry the daughter of the other, one to marry the granddaughter of the other, one to marry his brother's stepdaughter, his brother's wife's daughter, and various other relationships. So these are women who exempt their co-wife from Yibum and Chalitza if the husband dies and they now are open, in the words of the Gemara, they fall for Yibum and Chalitza to the surviving brother, and one of them is incestuously related to the surviving brother, the other woman is also exempt. Now, we came across earlier a type of woman known as an Eiloness. An Eiloness is a woman who has very masculine characteristics and indeed cannot possibly conceive. Feminine genitalia, etc., are not developed and she cannot conceive. And at least in the time of the Mishnah, in the Gemara, it was impossible to determine whether a particular woman was an islandess or not. So, our Mishnah gives the following scenario. Let's stick with the example we gave. Brother number one is married to the daughter of brother number two and to another woman. Brother number one dies. Now, brother number two has before him these two widows, one of whom is his daughter. So if it was a daughter, of course, there can't be Yibum and Chalitza to your own daughter. And the daughter exempts her co-wife. So both of them are exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. Brother number two goes about his business. The two women can marry anyone they choose. The co-wife has been exempted by the fact that she was a co-wife to the daughter of the Yavam, of the surviving brother. I suppose they both get married. And now it turns out that this woman, who was a daughter of the second brother, is an islandess. If she was an islandess, her marriage, her kiddushin to the first brother, was kiddushay tos, under false pretenses. The first brother never would have married her if he had known that she could never have children. So therefore, the daughter is now an islandess. But she never was really married to brother number one, meaning that her co-wife was not at all her co-wife. Brother number one, in our example, only had one wife. And this one wife was not related at all to his brother. Now that he's dead, the brother should be able to have Yibum with the person we're calling the co-wife, because she was never a co-wife. She was never really a tzora. But by this time, the co-wife has married someone else and has had children by this someone else. And she didn't have any Yibum or any Chalitza. But now it turns out that she needed Chalitza in order to get married. So she married this other person without Chalitza. That's a law in the Torah. A woman who is up for Yibum or Chalitza cannot go and marry just anybody. But that's only a law in the Torah, Malkus. She's not an Eishes Ish in the full sense of the term. So she's only been violated, all she has done, and unintentionally, is violated a lav. Well, so our Mishnah says that nevertheless, all of the consequences that we learned back in Mishneh, that she cannot go back to either husband, and that her children are mamzerim, and she cannot collect her ksuva, etc., etc. She can't eat truma, she can't eat maisa, etc., etc. All those apply to her. Sounds unjust, because she was totally innocent here. But the Chachamim wanted to make sure that things are exactly done correctly. Perhaps in this case, they wanted to make sure that if a person marries a woman who's an islandess, he will do all the proper investigations and find out whether she indeed is an islandess. So all of these things apply to her. Now, how can her children be mamzerim, you ask? If a woman is married to a man, he dies, she falls for yibum or chalitza to his surviving brother, and she goes and says, the heck with it, I'm not having yibum, not having chalitza, I'm marrying someone else. She's only guilty of violating a lav in the Torah. She's not guilty of an isa misa, not misa spezdin, it's only a lav. Can the children of her marriage to someone else be considered illegitimate to the extent that her children are mamzerim? The answer is yes, according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that there are, mamzerim are, can be the consequences of chai v'lavin. For example, according to Rabbi Akiva, if a kohen marries a grusha, where there's a lav in the Torah, and he has children, they're mamzerim. We don't follow that, Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rabbi Akiva, if this woman married someone else, third person, when it turns out now that her co-wife was an her wife, the daughter of the second brother, of the surviving brother of the Yavam, was really not married to her husband, the first brother, and therefore she should have had Yibum or Chalitza from the second brother, only according to Rabbi Akiva are all these consequences imposed. I've given you the background to the Mishnah, and now all that we have to do is really read it. Kol ha'arayel she'amru, of all the forbidden relationships, daughter, granddaughter, etc., of whom we learned, sorosehem mutaros, that their co-wives are exempt, a mutar, can go and get married as soon as the first brother dies, even without yibam and chalitza from the second brother. Holchu hatzoro. Suppose this co-wife went, elu. These co-wives went v'nisu and they got married to some other person. V'nimtzu elu ailonios. And now it turns out that the erva, in our example, the daughter, was an islandess and therefore never really married to the first brother. So the second wife, the co-wife in our example, now in a sense has two husbands. She has the surviving brother with whom she should have had Yibum and Chalitza. She has this other person who she's now married to, some other stranger from the street. The Mishnah says, Teitze Mizeu Mize. She cannot go back, she cannot remain in the relationship she has because she violated the Lav Torah against a Yavama marrying without Yibum and Chalitza. And she can't go to the Yavam either. That's part of the punishment. And all of the consequences that we learned about all take effect for her. But again, the Gemara explains that this mission is following Rabbi Akiva, who holds Yesh Mamzer b'chai v'lavin, and therefore only he holds that all of these strict impositions apply to her. But the halacha is not like this Mishnah, not like Rabbi Akiva. And again, in the next Mishnah, a similar but different type of scenario on the same theme. Hakones es yevimto. If a person, halacha is, we give you a little bit of background. Brother number one is married to two women, and he has no children from either of them, and he dies. The two women are now up for yibum or chalitza from the brother. The brother cannot be miyabeim, the brother cannot take both of them. He can take one with Yibum or give chalitza to one. Suppose this surviving brother is left with two sisters-in-law, widowed sisters-in-law, not related to each other, not related to him, but he can only be miyabeim one. So here he has Sora and Rochel. Hakone says Yevimto, he chooses Sora. So now, Sora is Yavama. She's married. She lives with this Yavam. Fine. Rachel in our example, she's now free. She doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Her co-wife had the Yibum. So Rachel goes, v'niseis la'acher. And she goes and gets married to someone else. Some different party. Third party. V'nimtza zos shehi alanus. And lo and behold, the second brother, the surviving brother, finds out that this Sora was an islandess. And therefore, she was never his dead brother's wife. She's not his wife. And therefore, Rachel was never exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. So here she is, still Zekuka, still connected in a certain way to her former brother-in-law, but she's now remarried to some other fellow. Teitze mizeh mizeh, v'chol hadrochim ho'elu bo. She too cannot remain in her present marriage because she entered into her parents' marriage without Yibum and Chalitza, which it now turns out she did need, because the co-wife who she thought exempted her was an islandess, turned out to be an islandess. And she cannot go back to the Yavam either because of a kanas. The Rabban said, no way. V'chol hadrochim ho'elu bo. And all the consequences that we learned about back in Mishnah Hey apply to her as well. And again, this only follows Rabbi Akiva, but this is not the halacha. We have now completed lesson number 31.